Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James. We're going to be looking at the third chapter this morning, verses 13 through 18, and then we're going to jump over to chapter 4, verse 8. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness shall be sown in peace for those who make peace. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand.
So I've been reading The Upper Room this week, and I got intrigued by Wednesday's devotional, September the 19th. It's by Valdeko Dreifeld from Estonia. And it starts out, as I read Psalm 146, I discovered that each line spoke to me. For I am now 62 years old. Now that's the reason this spoke to me, because this is the day before I turned 62. As I am now 62 years old. And I came to God 3 years ago. Now, my faith didn't come suddenly, as some experience it, but I made a commitment to a long-term Bible study course. And in the beginning of that course, all of it was quite boring for me. I forced myself to read and study the Bible. I was close to quitting, but God heard my knock and opened the door. Now suddenly I noticed that nature was wonderful and people can be amiable. I began to ponder the basic values of life and I yearned to study more. Everything completely changed once I decided to try to live as a Christian. I was no longer going back to my old life. I was walking on a familiar road towards home. Outwardly, my life was as it had been before, but inwardly, it all felt totally new for me. Today, I am a second-year seminary student. Moreover, I now realize how much time I have lost in my life. Yes, I already have one higher education degree from my youth that has helped me to come through life, but I have started thinking more about the spiritual aspect of life now. I feel as if I have woken up from sleep. Thanks be to God. Valdeko Dreifeld from Estonia. You're never too old, never too young. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're almost done with the book of James. This week and next week, and we'll be finished this September series, looking at Jesus' brother's book of Christian wisdom. This is a book of Christian ethics. What does it mean to live out our life practically as Christians? What does it mean as disciples of Jesus Christ to intentionally live as a disciple of Jesus Christ? And Jesus' brother James is trying to help us out with this. He is deeply entrenched with the biblical wisdom of the entire Bible. He knows it clearly, and he seeks to pass on that wisdom. Spoken of by the ancient sages, but now brought forth fresh and new in Jesus the Christ. What it means to live life like a tree planted by the waters, where the roots go down deep and firm and anchor the tree so that it can grow tall and spread forth many branches and bear much good fruit. The wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom, James says to us. Show by your good life. You realize that philosophers and theologians throughout the centuries of human existence has tried to determine what is the good life. The Greeks studied hard, whether it's Plato or Aristotle or Socrates or Epicurus, all sought to understand what is the good life. How do you define it? The Orientals tried it. Buddha, Confucius, the Tao, all talk about how does one live the good life. The Judeo-Christian tradition has an understanding of it as well. How do we understand living the good life? We haven't talked a whole lot yet about the relationship between Jesus and James. We've talked about James being the brother of Jesus. We only learned this in the book of Acts. We don't see this particular James in the Gospels. The James that is one of the apostles, one of the disciples, is the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. It's a different James. This James shows up in the book of Acts, and he shows up as the distinct leader, premier leader of the Christian church in Jerusalem in its earliest days. Known as the brother of Jesus. Now, scholars have wondered, is this Jesus' blood kin or someone else? For you remember, in the Gospels, there's an episode where Jesus is teaching, and some people come in from the outside and interrupt him. And he says, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside calling for you. And Jesus says, who is my mother? Who is my brother and my sisters? Then he says, I'll tell you. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my brother, and my sister. Now, whether this James is blood kin, it is very clear that the early church understood this James to be the spiritual brother of Jesus. The one who, above all, lived and breathed the teaching of Jesus the Christ and lived out the will of God, which gives him a distinct authority in his writing. Others have realized the close connection between the Gospel of Matthew and the book of James, how very closely they tie together. It's as if the book of James is a commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. And if you look into the Gospel of Matthew and you boil down the essence of the teaching of Jesus, you are pretty clear you're going to get the essence of the book of James. And so I tried this. I went back to the essential teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. It's the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. And so I began to look at the admonitions in the Sermon on the Mount. It's the essence of the wisdom of Jesus that is amplified in the book of James. So here it is. The admonitions within the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake. For you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Now, some people think that I have come to abolish the law of Moses and the preaching of the prophets, but I have not come to abolish them. I have come to fulfill them. Now, in the law of Moses, it says, "Thou shalt not commit murder." But I say to you, don't even get angry, because it's the beginning of your destruction. The law of Moses says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." I say to you, don't even start to lust. It's the beginning of your destruction. The law of Moses makes it easy for a man to divorce his wife. But I say to you, do not divorce except on the ground of immorality. The law of Moses says, thou shalt not swear falsely. But I say to you, don't even swear at all. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. The law of Moses says, you take my arm, I take yours. You take my eye, I take yours. But I say, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, you turn your left cheek to them. The law of Moses says, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. For you were created in the image of your heavenly Father, and your heavenly Father expects you to live up to it. Now, please, don't practice your pious ways in a pompous way in public. And when you give to the poor, don't make a big deal of it. When you pray, don't pray with flowery, flashy, pompous words to impress. When you pray, go somewhere in private and spend time in private with your Heavenly Father. And when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today bread enough for today. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And, O Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, if you're willing to forgive others, your Heavenly Father is willing to forgive you. But if you're not willing to forgive others, how can your Heavenly Father forgive you? When you fast, please don't go around looking grim and showing off, "Oh, hey, look at me, I'm fasting." Don't gather up treasures for yourself on earth, for where your treasure is, that where your heart is also. Remember that the eye is the lamp into the body. Be careful, little eye, what you see. For your Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful, little eye, what you see. You know, you cannot serve two masters. If you try, you cheat them both. And don't be anxious and worried about tomorrow, about what you'll eat, what you'll wear. Your Heavenly Father knows you need these things. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all this other will take care of itself. You don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't even come yet. Take care of today first. When you judge, judge by the same criteria that you want to be judged by. First, take the log out of your own eye before you attempt to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Hold that which you value and cherish it, particularly your faith. Don't trivialize it. It's like throwing holy things to dogs or precious pearls to pigs. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Above all things, remember this: in everything, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. If you do this, you have fulfilled all of the law of Moses and all of the preaching of the prophets. Know that in this world there are two gates. One is narrow and one is broad. The broad gate is easy to find and it's easy to get through. Many go through it to their destruction. The narrow gate is hard to find. It's difficult to get through. But those who find it and go through it find life. Beware of false prophets who on the outside look innocent and pure as lambs, but on the inside are greedy as wolves. And know that not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And finally, those who hear my words and do them will be like the wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the storms of life come, the house remains firm. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Now, over the centuries, there have been scholars who have pondered over these words. What do they mean, and how then shall we live? And there are some in the Christian family that says we must live them and obey them to the T. Every one of them is an admonition from Jesus that must be lived out and obeyed to the letter. There are others in the Christian family who say this is impossible. It is an ideal far beyond the human capacity to reach. It is meant to be an ideal, something that we strive for. There are others in the Christian family who say it is meant to humble us, to realize how far we are from even coming close to living the Sermon on the Mount. And because of that, it humbles us, makes us realize that we are saved not by our good works, but by the incredible love and mercy and grace of our Lord God. And you might ask me, which one is right? And I'll answer it this way. First, if Jesus Christ dwells in your heart, if you have asked Jesus the Christ to be Lord of your life, then your life wishes to please Him in all things. And if that's where you are today, then you can answer that question. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. And that's a promise.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.